Well, I want us to read in Mark chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I'm pretty sure you'll recognize this passage. It's one that we have looked at on other occasions. But I want us to look today at verses 3 through 5. Mark chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. It says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be here. I thank you for each person that is present. And Lord, you know every heart, every life, every need. And I pray now that in these next few moments, through the preaching of your word, the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to every heart, that in some way you would change every life for your honor and glory. If there's somebody here that's unsaved, we pray that you would deal with them in such a way they cannot leave before they get saved. For those of us that are already saved, I pray you would help us to make any decision we need to make. Lord, thank you for all your goodness to us. Thank you for all your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness that we have through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Right here in Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 and going all the way through verse number 12, we have Mark's account of when Jesus forgave and healed a man sick of the palsy. You see the forgiveness in verse number 5, and then you see the healing down in verse number 11. In today's message, I'm going to focus on forgiveness. The title for the message today is "Thy Sins Be Forgiven." Thy sins be forgiven. I want to begin by saying through the years I have preached numerous sermons on numerous subjects. One thing I know as a preacher is that not every sermon I preach applies to every person in the congregation. For example, if I were to preach a message on stealing, that is a message that would not apply directly and specifically to every person in the congregation because not every person is a thief. Amen? There are some that don't steal, so I realize that if I preached a message on stealing, not every person would be dealt with specifically through that message. But this message today is not like that. This message today is one that applies to every person that is in this building. Whether you're lost or saved, whether you're a male, a female, whether you're old, young, or somewhere in the middle, this message applies to you. This is not one of those Sundays where you'll be able to leave church and say, "Well, that was an okay message, but it really didn't apply to me." This is a message that applies to you. And the reason is because forgiveness is something that every person needs. It doesn't matter who you are. Every person needs forgiveness. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? It doesn't say some have sinned. It says all have sinned. And the scripture goes on to say in 1 John chapter 1 that if we say we have not sinned, then his word does not dwell in us. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. The scripture clearly teaches that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And not only that, but the Bible teaches that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's in the present tense. So we've all sinned in the past, and if we deny that, then we call God a liar and prove that his word doesn't dwell in us. But not only have we sinned in the past, hey, we still sinning right now in the present. And according to 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, present tense, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So it's very clear that in our past we have sinned, and right now in our present we sin. I will go out on a limb and say that every one of us sin every day of our life. And not only do we sin once or twice in a day, but listen, let's be real about it this morning. We sin multiple times in a single day. Every one of us do. Now, I understand that some people think so highly of themselves, they don't believe that, but the truth of the matter is, there's not a day of your life goes by that you don't sin multiple times against God. So this is a message that's for everybody, because all of us need forgiveness. If you're lost, you need forgiveness for salvation. You need your sins forgiven so that you can spend eternity with the Lord. If you're saved, you need forgiveness for your fellowship with the Lord. You need forgiveness so that you can maintain or perhaps regain the fellowship you have lost because of your sin. But irregardless of your condition, saved or lost, you need forgiveness. And the really good news, the thing that I really want to try to emphasize and get across this morning, is the fact that forgiveness is available. Not only is it necessary, but thank God, forgiveness is available. Earlier on in this week, and I don't understand all this, and I don't even question it anymore. I've been preaching for so many years now. The Lord has dealt with me so many different ways about messages. There'll be times when a week will go by, and it'll be Saturday sometime during the day before I ever get real good clarity on what God wants me to preach on. And I'll pray about it all week long, and I'll study and think about it, and I'll try to figure it out. But it'll be all week long before I figure out what the Lord wants me to deal with. And then there'll be other times I won't get home Sunday night before the Lord's already put something on my mind that he wants me to preach on the next week. It just happens in so many different ways. I don't understand that. Again, I don't question it. Just as long as he gives me what he wants me to preach, that's all that matters. The timing is his business, amen? That's his business. But I can tell you earlier on in this week, for whatever reason, the Lord started dealing with me about this message here. I really believe that there's somebody here this morning that needs this message on forgiveness. I believe that. And that's not to say that somebody here is just a really bad, horrible, wicked sinner. I just believe there's somebody here today who needs to be reminded of the fact that forgiveness is available. And that's the thing that I really want you to think about this morning. That's the wonderful news. We all sin. We do so every day. And every one of us need that forgiveness. And not only do we just sin daily, but sometimes we get all messed up in our spiritual life, and we what you would call backslide. That's a biblical term, by the way, where you just get away from God and some stuff gets into your life. And not necessarily is it a whole lot of really horrible, terrible, wicked things, but it's just stuff that you know's wrong. Doesn't the Bible say to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is... Isn't that what it says? See, we tend to think of sin as these really horrible, bad things that people do. But the fact of the matter is, if there's something good you know you're supposed to do, and you don't do that, guess what that is, according to the Bible? That's sin. So you don't have to get out of church altogether and get out in the world and start doing a whole lot of bad things to backslide on God and be in need of his forgiveness. You can simply stop doing the good things that you know you're supposed to be doing, and you backslide on God. And sometimes that happens in our life. It happens to where we're still going to church, but there's other things in our life that we know we're supposed to be doing. We understand it. We've been saved long enough. We know what God expects out of us. And we just get in a spot where we're not doing those things the way we need to. And that's sin. and that causes us to be away from the Lord. But whatever the situation, whether it's that a person's not doing the good things they know they need to do, or it's somebody that's got away from God and they're doing some bad stuff they know they shouldn't be doing, here is the wonderful news. Forgiveness is available. Isn't that wonderful? Just to know that when you get out of whack, get out of where you need to be spiritually, that you can come back to where you need to be and be forgiven of whatever sin you have committed or not doing whatever it was you ought to be doing. You can get back where you need to be spiritually. And that's the main point in the message today that I want all of us to be reminded of. But to help kind of drive home this truth, there's some things I want you to look at right here in Mark chapter 2 with me. I want to talk first of all this morning about the source of forgiveness. The message is all about forgiveness. And I want to think for a few moments about the source of forgiveness. Where does forgiveness come from? Well, look right here in the passage again. Notice it says there in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, that's the faith of these four people that carried this man sick of the palsy to the Lord Jesus, and also the faith of the man himself who was sick. But it says when Jesus saw their faith, and just as a kind of a side note, notice it says when Jesus saw their faith. Do you know that you can see a person's faith? How do you see faith? Because we think of faith as an internal thing. We're inside, we're trusting the Lord. How is it that you can see something that normally is invisible to the human eye? How can you see a person's faith? It's by their actions. James says you can see a person's faith by the way they live, the works that they do every day. And it shows right here the faith of these people, because they picked this man up from wherever he was at and they brought him to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. That was a demonstration of their faith. If they did not believe the Lord could heal that man, they'd have never went through all the hassle of bringing that man to Jesus. Amen. So he saw their faith, also I believe the faith of the man sick of the palsy. But when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus said that, right? So who's the source? What is the source of forgiveness? Jesus said to that man sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now if you look at verse number 6, you see there were certain scribes sitting there. And that was always the crowd, that religious crowd that bothered the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they were always bothering the Lord Jesus. And there were certain scribes sitting there and they started reasoning in their hearts. They didn't have at this time enough guts and gumption to just speak up and say what they were thinking, but they were thinking something in their heart about what Jesus said to this man. And look at verse number 7. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? That's what they were reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man, you see that? Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? That's their question. Who can forgive sins but God only? The implied answer is no one. And guess what? They were right. The only one that can forgive sin is the Lord. The problem is they didn't have enough sense to recognize that God was standing right in front of them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Lord Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. When he showed up, that was God come down to earth, and they didn't realize who he was. They had it right in understanding that God's the only one that can forgive sin. They just didn't realize God was standing there in front of them. So guess what the Lord does? You read on down through this passage here, and he heals that man. And ultimately, do you know why he healed that man? Ultimately, he healed that man to prove to that bunch who he was. They just made an accusation, at least in their hearts. Hey, only God can forgive sins, and you're just a man. So he says, all right, I'm going to show you that I'm not just a man. I am God. Look at it on down here. Look at verse number 10. Jesus says to them, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. He did that to show them who he was, to show that he was God, because if he's God, guess what? If he's God, he can look at that man and say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, and that man's sins be forgiven. That healing was to prove to them who he was and to demonstrate his power and ability to forgive sins. But what you see in the passage is the source of forgiveness is the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness does not come from man, it comes from the Lord. How does a person have their sins forgiven? By the Lord. Please understand, there is no preacher, there is no person, there is no pope, and there is no priest that can forgive anybody's sins. I mean, we got to get some clarity on this thing. This world today is crazy. This world is insane. And I'm not just talking about the wicked people out in the world, all these liberals and ungodly people. I'm talking about the church world now is absolutely insane on so many levels. It is unreal. And you know what bothers me? Maybe it doesn't bother you, but it bothers me when I hear people talking about church. When they start talking about the Catholic Church, you know what they always say? The church. Have y'all noticed that? When they're talking about the Catholic Church, which is the only religion that the mainstream media recognizes in this country as a legitimate religion. Do y'all understand that? Do y'all understand that truth? That is the only one. And when the mainstream media speaks of the Catholic Church, they always call it the church, like it's the only church and there's no other church. And if you're not a part of that church, then you're not in the church and all that nonsense. Listen, the Catholic Church is as much a church as I am a billy goat, okay? You hear what I'm saying? It doesn't matter really to me if you agree or disagree. I'm just telling you from a biblical standpoint, that's a bunch of wicked nonsense. It's not right. The Catholic Church is not even a church, much less the church, okay? And do you know some of the damnable, horrible, wicked, ungodly things that church teaches? Do you understand? One of those things is this, that a man has the ability to forgive your sins. You understand that truth? That's what they teach. That's why they have confessional. And listen, if you don't like what I'm saying and you don't believe it, the internet's all out there. There's plenty of resources. All you got to do is check Brother Keith out. I encourage you to do that. Don't just take what I'm saying. Look it up for yourself. Don't just walk through life being ignorant and getting mad at somebody you don't agree with. Study it for yourself, okay? And if you'll study it for yourself, you'll find I'm not up here just making things up. I'm telling you the truth. The truth of the matter is the Catholic Church believes and teaches and propagates constantly that a man has the authority to forgive your sins. That's why they have confessional where a person goes into a booth and right next to them is what? In one stall over, there's a priest. There's a man with a black suit on and a little collar around his neck. And you know what you're supposed to do? Confess all of your sins to that man. And when you get done confessing all of your sins to that man then has the authority to what he calls absolve you of all your sin. You know what that means? He has the authority to forgive your sins. And people go to that stuff time and time and time again. And they get up and they walk out of that booth and they go on with their life. And they believe in their mind that they're right with God. They believe that if they die, they're going to be all right. They're going to go straight to heaven because some man told them their sins were gone. Listen, there's no man that can forgive your sin. If you come to me and you tell me every wicked thing you've done, please don't do that, okay? Please don't do that. But if you were to come to me and tell me all the bad things you've done, I could listen to you. I could pray for you. I could ask the Lord to help you. I could reach out and try to do anything I can to help you with the problems you got in your life. But what I'll never be able to do is make you clean before God. I can't forgive you of nothing, okay? There's only one person that can forgive your sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be clear on that. The source of forgiveness. If you want to be forgiven, you got to go to the right source. It's like other things in life. So many times people waste time trying to fix a problem, and they waste it because they don't go to the right source. They go to all these other things, and they spend all this time and all this money trying to fix something when if they just go to the source, they could get it fixed right away. Listen, you can go through life trying to turn over new leaves and talk to people about your problems and all that kind of stuff, but it won't be until you go to Him that you have your sins forgiven. He's the only one that can do it. He's the source of forgiveness. Number two, let's look at something else. Not only the source of forgiveness, and this is kind of getting out of where I really want to go. I want to talk about what I call the singleness of forgiveness. The singleness of forgiveness. Look at verse 5 again. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins. The singleness of forgiveness. You know what the Lord does right here? He forgives an individual. He looks at that fella that's laying there sick of the palsy and he says, hey, your sins are forgiven you. The good thing that I want you to be reminded of this morning is that the Lord forgives individuals of their sin. He forgives individuals. Now, as you read in the Bible, you see there were times that he forgave people collectively, times when he forgave cities of people that were in rebellion to God. There were times when he forgave nations of people, like Israel, for example, several times throughout their history. The Lord forgave that nation as a whole. But the reason why he forgives certain people collectively is because collectively they repent and turn back to God. When they repent and turn back to God, then collectively he forgives those people. Think about the book of Jonah, for example. Remember how God called Jonah and told him to go down to Nineveh and to preach to those people in that city? Y'all remember the story? Well, Jonah didn't really want to go, so he gets on the boat and he winds up being swallowed by a whale, and then he gets puked up on the shore. And after he has learned him a little bit of a lesson, you know what he does? He does what God told him to do. He goes down to Nineveh and he preaches, and you know what happens? That whole city, from the king all the way down, repents. And you know what God does? God forgives and spares that whole bunch here. But it's because all of the people in that city, from the person on the throne all the way down to the smallest, most insignificant person there, they all turned back to God. So collectively, they were forgiven for what they did. But the thing that is more important to me is that the Lord forgives individuals. Because you know what I am? I'm an individual in need of forgiveness. And that's what every person is, an individual in need of forgueness. And I tell you something interesting. I did it again this week just because this stuff was on my mind. I just started thinking and going through the Bible and looking at some of the individuals in the Bible that the Lord forgave. Brother, you talk about a motley crew. Just think about it. Think about some of the people in the Bible the Lord forgave. Think about how he forgave murderers. That's in the Bible. He forgave murder people that were guilty of murder. He forgave them. He forgave adulterers. Do you remember the story of when the Pharisees brought that woman to the Lord Jesus who was caught in adultery? You remember that? You know what was supposed to happen to that woman by the law technically? Supposed to be stoned to death. And that's what they wanted him to do. But you know what Jesus said? He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know what he did? He forgave that woman. He forgave David in the Old Testament, didn't he? Wasn't David guilty of adultery? He forgave him for that. He forgave murderers. He forgave adulterers. He forgave blasphemers. Think about the Apostle Paul. I think about what a godly man he was. But boy, I'm telling you, he didn't start out too good, did he? He even called himself a blasphemer. He understood later on after he got saved that he had blasphemed God. And he was the one responsible for so many Christians being put in jail and put to death. You know what the Lord did? He forgave that man. He forgave murderers. He forgave adulterers. He forgave blasphemers. He forgave harlots. There's a story in the Bible of when Jesus is in the house of a Pharisee eating with him. And this woman comes in, the Bible says she was a sinner, like a bad lady. She was an immoral woman. A harlot is what she was. And she comes and she gets down and she weeps and washes his feet with her tears and wipes them with her hair. She does all of that stuff. You know what Jesus says about that lady later on down in there? He says that though her sins were many, they were all forgiven. He forgave that woman. That's why, by the way, she was down there at his feet, kissing his feet and washing his feet with her hair and her tears, because she was thankful for the forgiveness the Lord Jesus Christ gave her. I think about so many people in the Bible: murderers, adulterers, blasphemers, harlots, liars, religious people that were self-righteous. He forgave them. He forgave men. He forgave women. He forgave Jews. He forgave Gentiles. He forgave fornicators, idolaters, even people that the Bible says were effeminate. Now think about that for a moment. Effeminate. You know what that means, effeminate? That means a man acting like a woman. That's what effeminate is, right? Y'all still with me? That's what that is. When you got a man that acts like a woman, talks like them and presses around like them and, you know, shakes her hand and all that nasty, godless mess. We got plenty of that stuff going on too. And I am not for that. Hopefully, good gracious alive, hopefully you're not for that, okay? That's all wrong. That's all wicked. But here's the thing you need to understand. There isn't a sodomite on this planet down here that the Lord won't forgive. You understand that? There isn't an effeminate acting person on this planet that the Lord won't forgive. Y'all better understand that reality. Look, I'm against it. I'm going to preach against it. But at the same time, I want to let people like that understand that if they'll repent, there's forgiveness for them. I mean, let's don't categorize things and have the mindset that he'll forgive us of all our stuff, but he's not going to forgive certain people for their stuff. Listen, if he'll forgive you your sin, he'll forgive theirs too. There's forgiveness. But in the Bible, effeminate people were forgiven. Drunkards were forgiven. Thieves were forgiven. Extortioners were forgiven. Covetous people were forgiven. And on and on and on goes the list of all these different individuals that the Lord forgave. The good news this morning, the reason I'm trying to get you to understand this is because I want you to know that no matter what you've done, wherever you are right now in your life, if you are a long way from God and you got bad stuff in your life, there's forgiveness for you. I want you to understand that. You don't have to go around feeling condemned. Man, I have talked to people through the years. I cannot tell you so many times. I have talked to people who again and again, you start talking to them about their life and how there's hope for them through the Lord Jesus Christ. They can be forgiven. And they really genuinely believe in their mind that they have done something so horrible, so bad, that there is no forgiveness for them. That there's no hope. Listen, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. There's forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Please leave here this morning knowing that there is forgiveness through him. The singleness of forgiveness. Just a couple more things. Look at the scope of forgiveness. Look at verse number 5 again. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what he's telling him? He's telling him, in essence, all your sins. Not just a sin or a few sins. When he says, thy sins be forgiven thee, he's saying all your sins are forgiven you. All of them. He didn't just forgive one, he forgave them all. That's the scope of forgiveness. You can be forgiven of every sin, no matter what it is. And listen to this good news here. If you are saved already, then positionally speaking, as far as you're standing before God, every sin that you have ever committed or you ever will commit has already been forgiven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why you have security in your salvation. Past, present, and future, he washed them all away when you trusted him as your personal Savior. You have no sin right now that is still on your account that's going to put you in hell. They've all been forgiven, every single one, through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He wipes them all away. Let me show you just a couple of verses here in the Bible. Look at the book of Colossians, first of all. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 13. Colossians 2:13. Paul's talking to saved people here. Not lost people. He's talking to saved people. Colossians 2:13. Paul says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," that was their condition before salvation, says, "hath he quickened," that's he's made you alive, "together with him," look at this, "having forgiven you all trespasses." You understand what that's saying? That's saying this is something he's already done. He's not saying this is what he's going to do. He says, "having forgiven." That's past tense. This is what he's already done for you. When you got saved, he forgave you of every single sin, every one. Look at 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, and look at verse number 12. First John chapter 2 and verse number 12. "I write unto you little children, because your sins," what's that word? "Are forgiven for his name's sake." He doesn't say, "I write unto you little children, because your sins will be forgiven you." He says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you." That means they're already forgiven. Do you understand where you sit this morning? And this stuff like this is important, because sometimes the devil will just beat you down with your life and your sins and the things you do wrong and just make you feel so condemned and so unworthy, just make you feel so miserable. But do you realize where you sit this morning, saved person, child of God, that every sin has been washed away? That ought to be some good news for you today, that everyone is gone. And that when it comes to your salvation, it's all taken care of. When you stand before him, there's not a single sin that'll be laid to your charge or laid to your account that will cause you to have to be put in hell. All of that stuff was put on the Lord Jesus. He paid for every bit of it when he shed his blood. Doesn't the Bible say Christ died for our sins? Isn't that what it says? He died for our sins. He paid for every one of them, everything that ever would be done. I mean, think about this. People have in their mind that he hadn't forgiven future sins. Do you realize when he died on the cross that all of your sins were future? You weren't even around then. You weren't even thought of by people at that time, so all of your sins were future then. He has forgiven all of them. There is nothing that he hasn't already taken care of. So you're secure this morning. Yeah, you make mistakes, you mess up, you do wrong, but as far as your salvation is concerned, you're saved and nothing will ever change that, because all your sins are gone, washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus. The scope of forgiveness. Here's something else about this scope of forgiveness. If you're saved, he will forgive all of your sins that affect your fellowship. Here's what we're talking about. Positionally, I'm washed. I'm clean. I'm sinless, positionally speaking. But I still live down here on this earth, don't I? And I sin. I dirty my feet up. Do y'all remember the passage where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples? And he gets to Simon Peter, and he's arguing with him, "You're not going to wash my feet," and all that kind of stuff. And he says, "Look, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no part with me." Remember what Jesus said to him? And he says in true Simon Peter fashion, he says, "Well, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body. I want my whole body washed," you know. With him, it's one extreme to the other. That's the way it was. But what Jesus says to him basically is "You've already been washed. You just need me to clean your feet up all along." Here's the teaching in that. You only get saved one time. This business where every Sunday somebody's saying, if you want to get saved again, come back, that's a bunch of wicked, godless nonsense, okay? And there are people all over preaching that kind of a damnable thing. If you've lost your salvation, come this morning. Don't come rededicate your life. Come get saved again. Listen, friend, there's no such thing as retread spiritually. You get saved one time, washed in the blood, but your feet do get dirty, don't they? You know what that does? It messes up your fellowship. It doesn't change your relationship. It's like this. Me and my son, that's my son right there. Nothing is going to change that. You understand? That's just the way that is, and that'll be that way forever. Even if he gets to the point where he says, you know what? You're not my daddy. I don't love you. I don't care anything about you. I don't want nothing to do with you. You know what? He'll still be my son. But now he can act in such a way to where daddy don't want to talk to him very much, where our fellowship's messed up. You understand what I'm talking about? Nothing's going to change the fact that's my boy. But our fellowship can get messed up when he doesn't act like he's supposed to act. That's exactly how it is in your life with the Lord. You get saved one time. You don't get saved a bunch of times. You get saved one time. But when you don't act like you're supposed to act, it messes up your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. And what restores that fellowship and makes it where it needs to be, or gets it back to where it needs to be, is you and I confessing our sin and experiencing his forgiveness in our life. What does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Isn't that what it says? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is available this morning. I don't know your condition. Maybe you came in here today and you got some stuff between you and the Lord and only you know about it. Maybe it's just you that knows about it. But you know something's there. You know it ain't right. Maybe it's been there a while. I'm just telling you, you can be forgiven this morning. There's forgiveness for you. If you're willing to confess and turn away from whatever that is that you've done, the Lord will forgive you and restore your fellowship. Here's the last thing, and I'm all done. I want to talk for just a moment about the side effect of forgiveness. Look at this one verse here, one passage, and I'm done. Go back to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to be finished. Matthew chapter 9. The source of forgiveness is the Lord. The singleness of forgiveness, he forgives individuals no matter how messed up they are. The scope of forgiveness, if you're saved, he's forgiven your sins, and he'll forgive you. Practically speaking, so you can have fellowship with him again. And then here's the side effect of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 is where you get Matthew's account of this same story. But Matthew tells us something here, or gives us some information that Mark doesn't. And I want you to look at this. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You see what part Matthew puts in that Mark didn't put in? Where Jesus said, be of good cheer. He's telling that fellow, look, you need to cheer up. Not because you're healed, because you understand at that point he wasn't healed. At that point, that man was still sick of the palsy. It wasn't until later that Jesus healed him. So he doesn't tell him to cheer up because he's healed at that point. He says cheer up because you're forgiven. Forgiven. You know the side effect of forgiveness? When you recognize and realize that you have been forgiven, you know what that does? It cheers you up, man. It gives you happiness. It gives you gladness. It gives you joy. I think back, and maybe some of you can go back in your mind to the time when you got saved. I remember the night when I got saved. Little Baptist Church up in Rose Hill, Alabama. It was a Thursday night, and I had been invited to go there by a girl that I went to high school with. Her brother is now the pastor of that church. She invited me to go, and I remember going that night, and I really wasn't interested in God at all. I just went because, let's be honest, I went because a girl asked me to go. That's why I went. That's the God's truth. I got there that night, and that man stood in that pulpit, and he preached the gospel as plain and clear as I'd ever heard it in my whole life. I mean, he just broke it right down and got right down. He just shucked it on down to the cob. You hear what I'm telling you? And the Lord got a hold of my heart that night, and as soon as that invitation was given, I stepped out in that aisle and went down to that altar, and I received Christ as my Savior. I cannot explain it to you. But when that happened, there was a flood of joy that come into my heart like I had never experienced in my entire life. It was just amazing how wonderful I felt, knowing that I was saved, my sins forgiven. And I can tell you this, that since that time, there's been numerous times that I have backslid on the Lord. But there was one particular time in my life where for some years, I got out of fellowship with God. I got away from Him. I was out in the world just making a mess of myself. I was in what the Bible calls the far country. That's where I was. And I remember the way I would feel. Even though I was out doing all that stuff and trying to pass myself off as having a good time and living it up, and this is what life is all about, the truth of the matter is, only God knows, but a many a night I went to bed just as miserable as I could possibly be. Because down in my heart, I knew I was not where I needed to be. I knew I was saved, and I knew I wasn't living right, and I wasn't doing right. And I felt miserable. Now, I wouldn't admit that to any of my friends for anything in the world, but that's how I felt on the inside. And I can remember when I rededicated my life to the Lord. When I finally surrendered and said, I'm through with that mess, and I got back in church, and I got before the Lord, and I asked Him to forgive me for all of that stupid mess I had done, and I got back in church. I didn't get saved again, because you don't get saved but one time. But that night, that same flood of emotion that I felt that first night when I trusted Christ came right back to me again. All that joy that had been gone, that had been stripped from me, because that's what sin does. It steals your joy, doesn't it? Psalm 51 is a psalm David wrote when he was confronted by Nathan about what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah. And that whole thing begins with him confessing to the Lord that he had sinned, that he did wrong, and he gets on down in there, and you know what he says? He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what that sin had done with David? It robbed him of his joy. You know why there are a lot of Christians right now that look like they've been baptized in prune juice? Why they don't have any joy? Because they're out of fellowship with the Lord. But I'm telling you this morning, forgiveness is available. Praise the Lord. And if you want that cheer and that joy brought back into your life, all you have to do is come back to the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer.